you, darling, underneath the apple tree. It's a pity to say goodnight, because I want you to hold me tight. But if you gotta go home, you...
I'd like to call this March 1st, 2021 Library Advisory Commission meeting to order. I will read a notice regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. This meeting is being conducted utilizing teleconferencing and electronic means consistent with the State of California Executive Order N2920, dated March 17th, 2020, regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. The live stream of this meeting will be viewed on television and or online in accordance with the Executive Order N2920. The public may only view the meeting on GLEDA Channel 19 or online at, I'm not going to read the URL, but, or in the City Council Chamber. Thank you. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will now have a roll call.
Chair Gray.
Present.
Commissioner Peck.
Present.
Commissioner Goodman.
Present.
Commissioner Murr.
Present.
Thank you. Janet, are there any items for public forum?
There are not.
Thank you. And do we have any adjustments to the agenda? Seeing none, we will go on to our first item, and that is item number 218082, which is the director's report from Director Gray.
Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you all. We'll start with some statistics. We circulated 9,513 items in January. This is a down 80% from last January, which is a little bit higher. Previous months we've been down 75%, but it's to be expected with the weather. We had some good rainstorms that affected us. We had 393 uses of the library's wireless network outside. We continued with offering our sidewalk service. And here you see one of my poor staff during said terrible rainstorm in a little half-person hut offering service like the troopers that they are. We helped 2,232 patrons use sidewalk service, even in that terrible weather. We did have to close early one day because we had floods coming into the library from our two patios. And the folks, even though they were zipped into that little tent, they sure did get wet, but we have a great staff here and they really are troopers. We continued with our grab and go bag program for people that wanted more than just items that they could place holds on. As you recall, these are genre bags of sort of surprise bags. So we distributed 357 of them in January, which means a total of 1,943 books were loaned out. They're on our system and people just bring them back when they're done with them. And we're hearing from a lot of the patrons that they're being introduced to a lot of great new authors through this program. So they're very happy with that. We completed our winter reading challenge. Normally we do in the winter a winter reading club just for adults, but Simon and Schuster made this program available for all age groups for free. So we decided to take advantage of it and we had the program for all age groups. We had 469 registered participants and they read 2,521 books. Mm-hmm. Our local merchants were very, very generous and gave us incredible raffle prizes, which were won by some very happy people who are pictured on our Facebook pages. In terms of collection development, we had a budget adjustment, which allowed us to purchase more items for circulation. We received some DIF funds that the city have received, and those DIF funds can only be used for purchasing library books. So we received an extra $50,000 for our book budget, which was great. We needed a collection of items that hadn't circulated in over 3 years because our shelves are getting fairly full. We are partnering with UC.
Oh, yes. Allison, can I ask a question just before you go on? So the books that you weeded out, what happens to them?
Well, first we offered them to the Friends. They did not want them. So then we partnered with a company that will take them and they will resell them. And we get a cut of the profits. Whatever they can't sell, if it's in good condition and not too old, particularly if it's nonfiction, they will send them to developing countries, mostly in Africa, and send them to schools and colleges and communities there. And then if it's just stuff that really nobody wants, they will actually go to the work of getting rid of the plastic color covers and pulping them so they are truly recycled. So it's a no-guilt way of withdrawing items.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. We're partnering. This is our second year partnering with UCSB Reads. I was on the committee and that chose the title. We wanted to go with diversity, inclusion, and equity title. So we chose When They Call You a Terrorist, a Black Lives Matter memoir by Patrice Kahn Cullors and Asha Bendali. And so they gave us a number of copies of the book and we'll be doing a book discussion on this. Patrice Cullors will be doing a virtual speaking program at UCSB in May. So she will be available for everyone to sign up and listen to. It's a great book. We do have copies available for you to place holds on and read. And I believe it's also in Overdrive to download. So we're excited about that. And then we, for the third year in a row, we received a grant from the California Center for the Book. It's called Book to Action. And you pick a book that has a theme. This year they had three themes. Environmentalism, equity, and sustainability. We chose to go with equity, and we picked this really wonderful graphic novel by George Takei, who you all know from Star Trek. And it's autobiographical. It's all about how he and his family were taken from their home, I believe it was in San Francisco, during World War II, and repatriated to one of those terrible internment encampments that they sent Japanese Americans to. It's good for teens and it's great for adults, particularly adults who have not tried the graphic novel format before. So we received 115 copies of the graphic novel. We will be giving a whole bunch away and then we will be keeping some for circulation at the three branches. We have a teen graphic novel book discussion club. And so they will be doing, they will be discussing this and we are getting signed book plates by the illustrator of the graphic novel, Harmony Becker, who is a Japanese American comic book illustrator. She's done a lot of graphic novels and she's going to be speaking for us in May. We're very excited about it. We're going to be doing a number of programs from March through August, including talking with a lot of people in the area who either they or their families were sent to these camps. We have a lot of people locally who had to deal with this terrible situation. We're going to try to create some sort of digital exhibit of local people who want to share their experiences. We're going to work with UCSB on this. We're already working with a number of people in the community. We are going to be doing a book discussion with adults, as I said, with the teens. We have a film that we will be showing on our website that is a documentary about the Japanese American experience on the West Coast. So it's really a wonderful book. It's very accessible. And I think it will be an eye-opener to adults who have never read a graphic novel, that the format is very easy to understand and very engaging. Mr. Takai did a really wonderful job with this book. So we're very excited to be giving copies away. They'll be available at the front desk in front of the library starting March 10th. People can just come in and grab a copy. They can bring it back if they want to, or they can keep it. It's up to them. So we're excited about this program. And finally, we have begun the two-year budget process for fiscal years 21-22 and 22-23. And because of COVID, of course, there's a lot of economic uncertainty. And so it's likely there will be little or no additional money from the Goleta General Fund. And county funding, we get $7.80 per capita. That's been static for years. Solvang and Buellton will get most likely get some extra money, but the city, the Goleta Library does not. We do have Measure L, however, which covers the city of Goleta and some of the unincorporated area that we serve. And that does include a CPI adjustment. So we are able to estimate how much we will get for Measure L for the each of those 2 years. Some costs, of course, will go up, such as staff costs and computer costs. Black gold, some of the costs are going up very slightly. And so we will have to make reductions in other costs in order to balance. We were asked to do pretty much a status quo budget. So we are working on that as diligently as we can.
Allison, I have a question about the budget for the computers, because I think I remember that last year the Friends were able to provide a bunch of computers to you. So do you expect there to be a lot of computer purchasing in these next couple of years?
No, but what we do have is a lot of computer licensing that we have to pay for. You know, the Microsoft licensing, that kind of thing. You get it free for the first year. After that, you have to pay for it. So we have quite a few computers. And so that is a new cost for us. Before we got these new computers, we actually didn't have Microsoft products available on our computers, which was very difficult for the patrons. So now we have those available. Also, we had the new three new self-check machines, and we have contracts for updating and maintaining those. That is an extra cost. And so things like that. Janet, did you have anything to add?
I do. Chair Gray, if we could go back to the consent item and approve of the meeting minutes of February 1st of 2021.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can we put that at the end of this presentation?
Were there any other questions about the budget? I'm not sure if we'll be quite at the stage next month where I'll be able to show you an actual budget yet. I think we'll still be working on it at that point. But certainly by April, I should imagine. No, it's March now. Certainly by May, we would definitely have something to show you. I can't believe it's March. It's definitely been a challenge to try to keep a balanced budget. And we have staff positions that we have unfilled. and probably will have to stay unfilled in order to maintain that relatively balanced budget.
But did, so Director Gray, did you lose any staff during the pandemic, or did you need to, did you retain all your staff? Were you?
We did. We had some, a couple of pages leave just for other purposes, college, health, and we did not fill the positions. We tried to, but people were not wanting to come work at a library because they were worried about COVID. So those positions remained unfilled, but we were the only library system in Santa Barbara County that did not lay off or furlough any staff during the COVID pandemic. Everyone else did, but we were very fortunate that the city of Goleta kept everyone working. And that was why we were able to provide such a strong menu of virtual services and, increase our database offerings and all of that, and do the sidewalk service and all of that.
Okay, thank you. Janet, thank you for the reminder. My apologies. It's been a rough day for me, so I just breezed past that. So we'll move back in time on the agenda and go to the meeting minutes. And those are from our Monday, February 10th meeting. And do we have any questions or comments or amendments to those meeting minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can do a roll call vote. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Goodman moved, and then Commissioner Peck seconded, and so we can go ahead and roll call approvals.
Chair Gray?
Aye.
Commissioner Peck?
Aye.
Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Thanks again, Janet. So we can now move on to the next item. This is a discussion and an action item, 21083. Goleta Valley Library Fines Free Model. Go ahead, Director Gray.
Okay, so last month I did a presentation on the possibility of going fines free. And I hope you had a chance to think about it during the past month. Basically, we have two options. We could continue to charge fines and just continue as is. And we would bring in that approximate 1% of our overall revenue that we do currently bring in via fines. Although I must put in a caveat that during COVID, we have not been charging fines because we could not figure out a reasonable way to do it. Our book drops were not open 24/7 for 3 or 4 months at the beginning of COVID. The library was closed completely for 11 months at the beginning of COVID. A lot of people simply did not want to risk going out for some time. There were a whole variety of reasons why we just simply could not charge fines. We have charged for items that are lost or missing or damaged. So we continue to gather in that revenue. So we could go back to, set a date and say, okay, now we are going to, as of this date, we are going to start charging fines again. Or we could decide that we don't feel it's in the best interest of the community to charge fines at all. And instead, we could let them know when they have an overdue item, 30 days after it was overdue, we would send them a bill. And once their library card reached $40 owed, they would not be allowed to use it until they got it down below the $40. So they would have to pay the fine, pay the fee, or return the materials. So those are our two options. Right now, when we do charge fines, we give them, I think, 3 months before they get the letter saying we're charging you the fee for the materials. And then at that point, you know, they have to decide what they're going to do. So we would just expedite that, that process to make it happen faster so the materials would come back hopefully faster, or they would pay for them more quickly. So those are our two options: continue charging fines or discontinue charging fines and expedite the process of charging fees for lost items or damaged items. So if I can answer any questions for you, I would be happy to do so and leave it up to you to have a discussion.
Thank you, Director Gray. Are there any comments or questions? Okay, any discussion we want to have? Commissioner Peck?
Well, I guess, Allison, you said it would be 1 month and then they would be billed. Is there an option to give them a little more time? Yes, perhaps.
We could. Yeah. The way our system works, when you check something out, you get you check it out for 3 weeks, and then it's automatically renewed 5 times.
Right.
So unless someone puts a hold on it, there is that caveat. So as long as no one else has put a hold on it, you've had it for 15, 18 weeks at that time. Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion we want to have?
Commissioner Goodman, you felt strongly about some of this last time. Do you have any thoughts?
I do. I really think that I'm very strongly in favor of not charging fines. I think that the hit to the library is minimal. I think it's good practice to be in touch with people when they've had a book for 3 months. And so if that makes up any of the lost revenue, I think it's more likely that it just gets the book back. But I just feel like as a community organization that the fines hurt the people who have the least money the most. And those are the people whom we most want to be using the library. So,
but you would still have option. You would still have option two, where they would be billed.
I think I would.
I'm
with you. Mainly because I think it's. I'm also not in favor of just giving stuff away, and then it feels like it's not valuable at all.
Right. Okay. Just checking.
Any other discussion items?
So is that known as option two, Allison?
Yes. Yes, to recommend discontinuing charging fines, but make the lost item payment process timelier to increase the likelihood of either getting the overdue materials back or receiving payment from them for them.
Do we have public comment on this item, Janet?
No, but if there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. I see no public comment.
Okay, thank you. So I'm comfortable recommending that we move to a fine-free model. I think, you know, the community impact of fines is just not a good model to set. I obviously think we're doing better by just avoiding the fines overall and encouraging people to come and then return things in a timely manner or pay for them if they're not able to find them or keep them longer. So I'm comfortable recommending that model.
So
would someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
You go. You move it this time, Abe.
I move that we adopt option two, as it is known, and it was described by Chair Gray.
I second.
Okay, thank you. We can have a roll call.
Chair Gray?
Aye.
Commissioner Peck?
Aye.
Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Goodman?
Aye.
Okay, so it passes. Thank you. And our next item is future agenda items. So I believe a future item on our agenda will be to welcome a new commissioner. And if I'm not mistaken, we have the county acting on it already, and the city will be acting on it tomorrow. So that person will join us at our April meeting.
Yes, we'll also have the election of the chair and vice chair. And can I just thank you all very much for the motion that you just made? It's great. Thank you so much. I will make that, write a staff report and make that recommendation to the city council. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, are there any other items? Seeing none, I think we have to adjourn the meeting at 6:33. It's a very efficient meeting this evening.
I thought there'd be a lot more discussion.
No, your presentation from last week was very, very comprehensive, I think.
Yeah, thank you. Good discussion last meeting, and I think easy for decision making. So thanks, everybody. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Bye.